And welcome to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, May 15th. This is Shona Strasser. We have a great show lined up for you today. We'll talk with Jesse Palomino from the Zach Gordon Youth Center about this weekend's Hershey Track and Field Meet. John McConaughey will be here to highlight Bike to Work Day tomorrow. We'll talk with Mr. Whitekeys about Whale Fat Folly's summer show. We'll talk to Nancy DeCherney with Arts Up. And we'll also talk to a brand new person to town, Alex Counts, talking with the Juno World of Affairs Council presentation this evening. So we have that coming up first, right after National Native News. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Indian Country is celebrating the news of the first Native woman to become a federal judge. The U.S. Senate confirmed Diane Humitiwa's nomination Wednesday. Matt Laszlo has reaction from Washington, D.C.
There wasn't much different at the Capitol yesterday. Senators ran off and on the Senate floor casting votes. Reporters scurried about and tourists shuffled about, as usual. But it was a historic occasion. With the support of 96 senators, Humitiwa was named the United States District Judge for the District of Arizona, marking the first ever Native woman to serve as a federal judge. Arizona Republican Senator John McCain was elated after supporting her nomination.
Well, I think it's historic. She's the first female Native American to serve on the federal court, and I'm very honored and proud that Senator Flake and I were responsible for her nomination.
Not a single senator opposed her nomination, though four weren't present for the vote. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
Diane Humitiwa is from the Hopi tribe in Arizona. She has practiced law in federal courts for more than a decade, including as U.S. Attorney for Arizona, and has also dedicated time to Indian Country issues, serving as a judge for the Hopi tribe counsel to the U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Affairs and special advisor on Indian Affairs at Arizona State University. A student at the University of Alaska in Anchorage has created software that can spell check the Yupik Eskimo language. Yupik language experts are excited about the possibilities, even though the designer is not a fluent speaker. KYUK's Charles Enoch has more.
Eric Stephen Ivan Wesley Somerville presented his model last month at the UAA Integrated Science Building. It's not ready for general use, but by completing the proof of concept phase, Somerville has overcome an important hurdle.
It's not perfect, but I've shown that it can be done.
Creating the software had many challenges, especially for someone who doesn't consider himself fluent in the Yupik language.
I'm trying to understand Yupik language, and I'm trying to translate it in my head in order to get enough understanding, in order to then teach it to a computer.
Somerville is building his software off of the work done in the 1980s by linguist Stephen Jacobson, whose grammar books and dictionary are still considered the definitive source on the language. UAA Yupik professor Marie Mead says the integration of Jacobson's work with Somerville's software could be an important advancement.
It would be good for people who use the language. Also, a better teaching tool for checking errors.
Somerville's ultimate goals are to develop an app and incorporate the spell checker into common programs like Microsoft Word. If the app comes out, don't expect it to turn you into a Yupik speaker immediately. Mead says there is no app for that.
You can't learn Yupik in one try or one semester. You have to keep practicing.
This is Charles Enoch.
Members of the Red Lake Nation in Minnesota headed to the polls Wednesday. They were voting on tribal leadership. Four people ran for chairman, including incumbent Floyd Buck Jourdain. Unofficial results show Jourdain was unseated by Daryl Seeke. The chairman-elect is the current tribal treasurer. The election results are expected to be certified today. Jourdain has led the tribe for about a decade. In May 1989, Nebraska set precedent in Native American repatriation efforts with its new law establishing procedures to follow when human remains are discovered in the state. The move came after calls to return Pawnee remains. The Unmarked Human Burial Sites and Skeletal Remains Protection Act was passed and signed into law. federal law regarding Native American human remains was enacted in 1990. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, with funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. Support provided by the National Indian Education Association's 45th Annual Convention and Trade Show in Anchorage, Alaska, October 15th through the 19th. All participants, vendors, and exhibitors are welcome to register at niea.org. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And you're tuned in to Juno Afternoon. My first guest in the studio, or two guests in the studio today, are Jim Clark, the president of the Juno World Affairs Council, and Alex Counts. And Alex is the president and CEO of the Grameen Foundation. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
So what is the, for people who are not in the know, what is the Juno World Affairs Council?
Well, the Juno World Affairs Council is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to bringing issues and speakers about those issues to Juno at, about foreign affairs and issues worldwide. And we're delighted to have Alex this evening and remind everybody that it's at 5:15 at the Juno Arts and Cultural Center. Get a chance to hear his talk.
That's right. So that's actually tonight. Alex, so for the Grameen Foundation, I was kind of speaking to you off air just a few moments ago. I'm like, I'm trying to wrap my head around this because it's very cool and it seems to be fairly complicated. But when you mentioned it, it's actually not really.
It's actually pretty simple. Muhammad Yunus, who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2006, not the prize for economics, but the prize for peace, he pioneered in his native country, Bangladesh, that I had lived in for 6 years in my 20s, a way to actually allow poor people to become really the agents of the change in their own lives. And the basic insight he had is if they could get access to just simple financial services, a $200 loan, a place to deposit their money when they had a little excess, surplus, insurance to mitigate their risk that they face, that you could see people with those services, basic services we take for granted, that can be delivered to them in a commercial way, in a business way, start to take charge of their lives and, if not end poverty for themselves, make sure that they don't hand down poverty to their children. And Grameen Foundation is about taking those ideas and propagating them all around the world.
And so essentially you're a foundation that helps people have access to this. It's not a specific kind of banking, or is it?
Well, most of the organizations, so we don't run banking operations in the countries like the Philippines or India or Ghana, where we have operations. We find local organizations. Many of them are now set up as banks, but they're banks that are specialized, just like the very wealthy have banks, like they're Goldman Sachs, that are only set up to serve the special needs of the very wealthy. These are banks or finance companies that are set up to be specialized products that are relevant to the poor and especially poor women. They don't need big loans. They don't need extravagant insurance policies. They need things that are kind of bite-sized, that are set for the economic reality they live in. And if you can do that, most of them have shown that you can do it profitably. You're not going to earn big profits, but they're a market. And so that's been one of the big reasons that poverty, since I got involved in this work 25 years ago, poverty rates globally have come down about half of what they were. And some of that is the economic growth of China and India, but some of it is this grassroots developing products that allow, again, poor people to take charge of their own lives and become agents of that whole changing of society, you know, person by person.
So this started out as something that was, you know, a $6,000 grant, and now it's just a huge organization. And can you tell me about how long that growth has taken and what countries you are now in?
Sure. We saw, again, when my decade in Bangladesh came to an end in 97, I wanted to set up the Grameen Foundation to propagate the best of the ideas that I saw in Bangladesh globally. And Muhammad Yunus gave me a little grant of $6,000 to start. I was naive enough to think that was a lot of money to start an organization with, but it was enough to get started. We now have about a $20 million annual budget. We're active in about a dozen countries with people on the ground, about 200 employees around the world. And we have a reserve corps. Probably our biggest asset is 17,000 people have registered in something called Bankers Without Borders, where they're saying, I have these skills that I've developed professionally, and I'd like to apply them to fighting poverty. And so these are range from people who do work from poverty reduction in their pajamas before they go to bed, work in the morning, to people who do a three-week assignment in India. Again, we're active in Latin America. We have a big office in Colombia. But basically, we're just trying to do – we've discovered a lot of what works. And with the resources we have, the people and the money and the financial contributions is in these dozen countries that we've chosen is let's adapt what has been proven to be effective in fighting poverty, making, again, the poor their own agents of change, and just adapt those principles in different markets and let it take on its kind of magical course.
Jim, what was the impetus for bringing the Grameen Foundation and bringing Alex here to Juneau?
What we try to do is mix up the folks that we have come, and we've concentrated for a while on the Middle East, and we decided we wanted to get more speakers in, and one of the opportunities came up in cooperation with our sister organization in Anchorage, and Alex is here today with us and tomorrow with them. And I think people would be interested in hearing about this micro loan issue. My wife is coming tonight, very, very interested in this thing. And we have a board member who's going to be meeting Alex afterwards who's read his book on this subject. So there's a lot of interest in this.
So, Alex, when you come to Alaska specifically, I mean, do you think to yourself, well, this, how does it translate to Alaskans specifically, or how can we get involved to actually get involved in the foundation or in just work in general in this business?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a great many international humanitarian organizations, and I'm sure they have many, like we do, supporters here. And I always encourage people to get involved, and whether it's a faith-based organization or a secular organization like ours. Certainly our Bankers Without Borders program is a way for people who have skills but may not have a lot of money to put into poverty alleviation to get involved and also to realize that this has been one of the untold success stories of the last 25 years, that poverty rates have been cut by half globally, and in some countries well more than half. Because I think people have a vague sense, sometimes they see a natural disaster in Haiti, a country I've spent a lot of time in the last 5 years, and it just feels like there's no progress, there's people are moving backward. But in fact, there has been a lot of progress, and I was glad to hear there's been a big focus on the Middle East. I'm just back from Dubai 10 days ago, where we have a regional joint venture. And when you start kind of going into the details of these different cultures, these different hotspots, they're very different than what you think. Bangladesh was very different from when I went there and the first time and repeated, where in the Middle East, microcredit for women, despite some interpretation of Islam that loans are not appropriate with interest or that women should be very subservient, microcredit has done extremely well in the Middle East. These kind of characterizations are only partly true. So I just urge people, beyond getting involved however they can in Bankers Without Borders, Grameen Foundation, other humanitarian organizations, is also to try to be involved with groups like the World Affairs Council, where you can actually go underneath the bumper stickers about what's going on in the world and the poor countries and just see where there's progress and where there's things are changing that don't often hit the headlines.
Yes, and definitely see in which ways you can get involved. Is there a website that people could look at for the Juneau World Affairs Council?
It's very simple. It's jwac.org.
JWAC. See, I love that. .org. You can check that out. Alex Counts speaking tonight at 5:15 at the Jack, just right next door here from KTOO Studios. It's a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks.
And Jim Clark, thank you so much for continuing to bring in fabulous speakers here.
Thank you.
Oil and wine, summertime all year, Tropical breezes, storms out of Africa, always near. Way up north, the spring takes a long time to come. Long Arctic twilight, days turning slow beneath the midnight sun. So far away, we could never agree. We should have remembered that islands are joined by the sea. So sail away. There's coffee and lemons, lunch at the Black Horse at one. Great grandfather sleeping 100 years beneath the midday sun. And the bells of St. Michael's song for my long winter's night. The wind in the trees, the sand and the sea, and the northern lights. So much the same, but different we both know. One belonged to the sunlight, the other belonged to the snow. So sail away.
And that's Crave Van Kirk. You can actually check out Crave Van Kirk tonight. You can be a live member of the studio audience at 7 p.m. here at 360. We're going to be doing a live taping that we'll actually get to broadcast a little bit later. And next in the studio, I have John McConaughey and Sarah Bronstein. And they're both with, Juno Rides. And then also John is owner of Cycle Alaska. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shauna.
So Juno Rides, you're just telling me something very cool. It's a bike organization, for one. We should get that out there. Sarah, could you tell me what it is?
Really? So Juno Rides is a small community group that broke off from the freewheelers with the intent of promoting cycling as a fun, convenient, easy way to get around Juno.
That's great, because tomorrow is Bike to Work Day.
It is. The 16th is Bike to Work Day.
So what does that mean for people who are, you know, driving their cars? What should they do tomorrow?
Well, just be aware there's cyclists on the road, and also cyclists too have an obligation to make certain that they obey the traffic rules also, because when they are on the road, they are a vehicle as such. But just drivers, just be aware there may be a few more riders out on the road tomorrow. And
there's some cool things going on around tomorrow as Bike to Work Day. What's going on?
Yeah, actually, I would encourage people, even if they do normally drive, but if they've ever been on the fence or thought about riding to work, tomorrow is a really great time to do it, because we're going to have a lot of support for you out there. So we're having two commuter stations with a mechanic on hand and some snacks and coffee, and those will be at Twin Lakes and off the Douglas Bridge in the Cycle Alaska back lot. And we'll be running those from 6 to 8:30 in the morning tomorrow morning, and we encourage everyone to ride by and check it out, get some coffee, and if you have a flat or if something is making a funny noise on your bike, bring it into the bike mechanic and have them take a look at it. And I would also mention that our Douglas Bridge Station will be handing out free bacon to bikers. So we would encourage people to come by and get some breakfast as well.
That's right. I saw it in all caps, actually, somewhere. Like, free bacon. Who doesn't want to ride their bike for that?
Right?
And how did... So this is actually bike to work or is to month, right? And, John, do you want to talk a little bit about kind of that movement? Because it's a national bike to work month, right?
Actually, I'm going to throw this one over to Sarah. She's just a little bit more in tune with the whole process of how this came about.
So National Bike Month was started by the League of American Bicyclists, and it is celebrated, and there's celebrated by cities all over the country, and there are lots of different communities that are participating. This is the first time that I know of that anyone has done a complete bike month event in Juneau, so we're hosting a commute challenge for the entire month of May. And it's not too late for people to sign up for the challenge. You don't have to be signed up for the challenge to ride on Bike to Work Day or to stop by our commuter stations, however.
Right, and so it's actually part where people can gain miles. They're part of a kind of a commute team. Maybe their work signed up for it or something like that.
Exactly.
And people are gaining miles, and there's some prizes and all that kind of stuff, yeah?
Yeah.
There are, and actually our goal was to have 100 people sign up, and now we're at about 125.
We've actually almost hit 150 as of this morning.
Wow. So that's a lot in the last few days. So that is super, and there's a lot of very energetic teams out there, and we're doing it by trip as opposed to miles, because sometimes the commute between, it's just a little, perhaps a more egalitarian way of doing it.
Yeah, that's very cool. Cycle Alaska also recently just won, I guess it's not an award, but it kind of is. It's a very cool acknowledgement. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, we were very honored and to receive. We're put amongst the 50 top bike shops in the United States. We're ranked number 45, and it's a complete surprise to us, but a welcome surprise, and just it's a celebration of a team effort. It's just not myself, obviously. We've got great folks that work there, and they make a huge difference, and they're all passionate about bikes and love cycling and love talking to people about bikes and helping people with bikes.
And it's a really huge it's not an easy thing to run an independent bike shop, I imagine.
it is difficult, but I think the successful stores in Juneau in competing with the larger stores in town are the ones that offer that personalized service and experience and knowledge about a product rather than just wandering around looking at things. If you have a question, we will be able to answer it.
Yeah. I also read something cool about, so if you've biked to work, you can stop by, so this is tomorrow, Bike to Work Day, you can stop by Cycle Alaska or a station in Twin Lakes. You can talk to mechanics and you can get bacon downtown. But then afterwards, on your ride home, something also pretty cool.
Yeah, so we're doing a bike happy hour at the Alaskan Brewing Depot in downtown, and it's a bike happy hour, but of course it's for friends of cyclists as well. So it'll be run very similarly to the happy hours that they host for First Friday events. There will be a little bit of food and some free tastings, and if you have been riding in our challenge, and we offer everyone who participates in the challenge a free water bottle if they bike 5 days. So if you've made your 5 days, we'll have water bottles there for people to pick up, too.
That sounds great. Is there a website where people can get more information about everything that's going on this month for Bike to Work Month and day tomorrow?
Yes, there is. JunoRides.org.
That's easy enough. JunoRides.org. Sarah and John, thank you so much for coming to talk with us. And Juno drivers, if you are not riding your bike to work this month or tomorrow, definitely be on the lookout. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Choice.
Say God,
give me a choice.
Say Lord,
I say Christ, I.
And there's a little bit of Queen to get you in the mood for Bike to Work Day. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, May 15th. My name is Shona Strasser. And we'll hear a little bit of Garrison Keillor with Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 15th of May, 2014. It's the anniversary of the founding of the first private mental health hospital in this country, 1817, near Philadelphia, the Asylum for the Relief of Persons Deprived of the Use of Their Reason. It was founded by a group of Quakers at a time when mental illness was widely treated as criminal behavior. When mentally ill people were tied up, they were put in chains, isolated, they were beaten, and the Quakers wanted to model a new type of care. They tried to create a beautiful place with gardens, a lot of outdoor space, 52-acre farm. The groundskeeper found an azalea that somebody had thrown away, and he tended it, and now more than 20 acres of the hospital are planted in azaleas. It's still around today, but under a new name. It's called the Friends Hospital. It's the birthday of the writer who said, "If I didn't know the ending of a story, I wouldn't begin. I always write my last lines first." Catherine Ann Porter, born in Indian Creek, Texas, 1890, author of the short stories Flowering Judas and the novel Ship of Fools. It's the birthday of Lyman Frank Baum, L. Frank Baum, born Chittenango, New York, 1856, went out to Aberdeen, South Dakota, opened up a general store there called Baum's Bazaar. He was popular with the neighborhood kids, which inspired him to write a book after his store went bankrupt. The book was called Mother Goose in Prose, came out in 1897, and 3 years later, he came out with The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, which was a big success right away, and Baum went on to write 13 more novels based on the land of Oz. He was a socialist, L. Frank Baum. He said there were no poor people in the land of Oz because there was no such thing as money, and all property of every sort belonged to the ruler. Each person was given freely whatever he required for his use, and everyone worked half the time and played half the time. It's the birthday of the writer Mary Borden, born Chicago, 1886. Father was a millionaire, earned his fortune prospecting in Colorado. She went off to Vassar College and then took her sizable fortune and set off on a world tour. She was in Europe when World War I broke out. She went to Belgium to volunteer with the Red Cross, though she spoke no French and she had no nursing experience, but she used her money to start a mobile hospital on the front lines. She moved it to wherever the fighting was most intense. She wrote a book about her work as a nurse on the front lines. The Forbidden Zone came out in 1929, as well as many other books, novels, and so forth. She was the aunt of Adlai Stevenson, who ran for president. Here's a poem for today by W.S. Merwin, By the Front Door. Rain through the morning, and in the long pool, a toad singing happiness old as water. So short, I'll do it again. Rain through the morning, and in the long pool, a toad singing happiness old as water. By the Front Door, a poem by W.S. Merwin from The Moon Before Morning, published by Copper Canyon Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. produced by Joy Biles, assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And you're listening to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, May 15th. My name is Shona Strausser. And in the studio with me, I have Jesse Palomino here to talk about this weekend's Hershey Track and Field Meet. Welcome to the studio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So this is the Hershey's Track and Field Meet, and it's put on by Zach Gordon Youth Center. Is that correct?
Yeah. We're the facilitators of the event. It's actually a nationwide event that happens in all kinds of different communities that's sponsored through Hershey's.
That's pretty cool. So track and field, I mean, we're talking like all the really cool events that everybody would see, right?
Yeah, we have our typical running events that we have a bunch of different lengths on. And then we also have a standing long jump and a softball throw.
Ooh, I want a softball throw. So who can get involved in this?
Anybody can get involved. To actually participate in the Hershey's events, the youth need to be 9 to 14. And we'll have all-comers events that'll be actually interspersed throughout the event, so the whole family can actually join in.
Oh, so if you're an adult and you want to, say, throw a softball, you could possibly do that.
Oh, yeah. We'll have an egg race and a three-legged race and a tug-of-war.
Yes. So is there mud involved?
No mud, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's kind of dry for that. So how did Zach Gordon get involved in this? Because this is not the first year that you've done it, actually.
No. Zach Gordon's been doing it for several years. I think that we just kind of found out about it through the grapevine and have been doing it for, I think, at least the past 6 years or so.
And is it a free event for people?
Yes, it is a free event. Although for the Hershey's events, a registration is required, so people can do it the day of. Which will actually be well before the events start happening, or you can get a registration form at the Zach Gordon website and return it to the Zach Gordon Center.
And this starts, is it Saturday?
It's on Saturday. The registration will be open from 11 to noon, and about noon we'll start a group warm-up for all of our competitors, and then around 1 o'clock is when the actual events will start taking place.
And it's at the Thunder Mountain High School
track and field.
Track and field, yep. Out there. And so you register for the Hershey's events. Does that mean that they kind of go into this national data pool and see who wins from all the events all over the country?
Yeah, there's will be people selected from each state, not necessarily the winners, which is pretty cool, to go to compete in the national final, which is held in Hershey's, Pennsylvania.
Oh, where you can get lots of chocolate, I'm sure.
Most definitely.
So how did they do that, though? You said not necessarily the winner. How do you actually kind of qualify for that?
We'll send in everybody's times, all the competitors' information into the regional coordinator, and they pick who they feel will be a great representative for Alaska.
And is this something that happens in Fairbanks and Anchorage and all that kind of, you know, other places in Alaska as well?
Yes. Yes, they have it up in Fairbanks and in Anchorage.
How many participants usually do you get for this?
It really varies. This being the last year that they are going to be conducting a Hershey's event, we're hoping to have a real good turnout. Hopefully some kids competing in every event. They've had a little bit of downfall over the past year, so after this year it will no longer be a competitive event, but it will be a track and field clinic.
Oh, great. So you can kind of learn skills and then take those wherever you want to.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. And if people want more information, where can they go?
They can get it at the Zach Gordon webpage, which is through juno.org, and the Parks and Rec page. You'll find Zach Gordon.
Great. So you could really just Google Zach Gordon, and you could give him a call and get more information.
Oh, yeah.
Well, super. Thank you so much for coming on to talk about this weekend's Hershey's Track and Field Meet that's sponsored by Zach Gordon Youth Center. So thanks so much, Jesse.
Great. Yeah, thanks for having me.
How about a hand of the future's right? You know what I mean?
And you can get physical this weekend at the Hershey's Track and Field Meet, sponsored by Zach Gordon Youth Center, out at Thunder Mountain High School. And you're listening to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, May 15th. My name is Shona Strausser, and I'm very lucky to have on the phone with me Mr. White Keys from Anchorage. How are you?
Hey, I am fabulous. How are things in Juno?
You know, it's absolutely beautiful here, sunny, and then lots of pollen, which I hear you've got clouds of it, too.
Oh, but we love it.
We love pollen. It's true. It's true. So you have a show coming up. What's going on?
Well, it's the Whale Fat Follies, and the Whale Fat Follies has, been a staple here in Anchorage for years, but we haven't performed it in the last, not in a couple years, and only, this will be the third season since 2006 when the Fly By Night Club closed, and we're just looking forward to having a fabulous time. You know, all we do is just take what Alaskans like best, you know, vicious political satire, and set it to a happy toe tap and beat.
That's great. So how long has this show's been on a bit of a hiatus, but how long has this show kind of been in production?
Well, the Whale Fat Follies appeared for like 21 years at the Fly By Night Club when that was open, and then since it closed in 2006, again, we did 2 years at the Taproot, and then this is our third year, so it has not been seen in a while, and with all the stuff that's been going on in this state, we're back with a vengeance.
That's great. So if Juno people are headed up to Anchorage, do they need to get tickets beforehand, or can they kind of go on the fly? How does that work?
Well, it's a pretty good idea. The show opens on June 11th. And runs through almost the end of August, but 3 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Tickets are at centertix.net. And the show usually gets very, very full, if not sold out. So it's always a good idea to get tickets in advance.
And any chance that this fabulous show might come down to Juno?
Well, you know, I have brought the show on the road a couple times to Juno, but it was for private conventions and events like that. So it has not been on the road, in a couple years. And it's never the full production. I mean, we can't bring the full production on the road. It's just too many people and, you know, too many blinking palm trees to bring on the road. But, you know, the attitude is the same. You know, we can do that. You know, I mean, we're not the funniest guys in Alaska. We're not claiming to be the funniest guys in Alaska. But since the legislature is out of session, well, we got a shot at it.
So how does it work when you kind of develop this show? Are you looking at – do you kind of rework material as, you know, the legislature comes to a close, or how does that work?
Well, you know, we just look at the newspapers and, and what's on the radio, what's on TV, what's online. And from there, it's just like shooting fish in a barrel. But, you know, the one thing, I mean, for instance, yeah, I'm sort of disappointed in Lindsay Holmes that she's not running again. But that's only because she ran out of parties. So, you know, and we sort of have a reputation of being, you know, a little bit rude, but we're not, you know, and we absolutely guarantee that we won't say anything on stage that you haven't already heard from the mayor of Toronto. I mean, you know, we have our standards, and we're going to stick to them.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So how many performers do you have with you up there? Because like you said, you do sometimes a truncated version here in Juneau. But how many people do you perform with up in Anchorage?
Well, there's six or seven. I mean, we've got the band. There's, bass, drums, and I'm on keyboards. And then we have a star actress and actor that are singers and dancers, and the lady that we've got, Bridget Sullivan, is just incredible. I mean, she's been with us for a couple of years, and she is amazing. She was voted in the Anchorage Press Readers Poll the best vocalist in Alaska in 2008, and then she was voted the second best vocalist in Alaska in 2009. And she hasn't been heard of since, and that's why she's working for us.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So what are some tidbits that people can look forward to if they catch the show up in Anchorage?
Well, you know, I mean, we never know. I mean, there's always, it's all the things that Alaskans love to do in the summer. You know, there's fishing and there's camping and there's duct tape and, everything that Alaskans love. Plus, you know, you never know what's going to be in the news. I mean, I just saw today, and it was on your website. One of the head stories is this road to Ambler. You know, the state wants to spend, how many hundreds of millions of dollars, if not in the billions, to build this 220-mile road to Ambler, to the mining district. And then they talked to the people in Ambler about it. And it turned out that, they talked to every person in Ambler. And 11 people were in favor of the road, and the other 5 didn't care. So, we just never know what's going to happen from one day to the next.
Oh, that's great. I checked out your website earlier, it was a couple days ago, and it just made me laugh because I think you said something about this is a useless website. Another useless website. And I was wondering if you could give us the name of that, a great website. It's very funny.
Well, it's MrWhiteKeys.com, MrWhiteKeys.com. And it's good that you looked a couple days ago because 3 days ago was the first time I've updated that in 3 years. So, I mean, it's all new.
Wow, I love it. Oh, is it? So people can go check it out. They can check out where to get tickets for the Whale Fat Folly Summer Show. And definitely if you're traveling up to Anchorage, which most people do from Juneau, check it out. Could you tell us, it's running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays. And
June 11th through almost the end of August.
Awesome.
And, it's 31 performances, which is actually, when we had the Fly-By Nightclub, we used to do close to 90 performances in the summer. I mean, and so this is it's actually a pretty limited edition, but it's just going to be tons of fun, when your job is mouthing off and making snotty comments, you've got no complaints. Life is good.
You're doing something profoundly right with your life.
Well, I hope so.
Mr. Whitekey, it's such a pleasure to talk with you, and people can definitely check out your website for more information. And all the best with your summer show.
Hey, thank you, and just have a fabulous summer to everybody in Juneau.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Fishida by Mr. White Key, so you can check that out. In Anchorage, check him out. Also online, you can read his really funny website. In the studio with me, the one, the only, Nancy DiCerni. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well.
I'm hungry now.
Don't fish with me. Don't something about Velveeta?
Velveeta squish? I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah, who doesn't love Velveeta? Okay. So we're in our last weekend of Jazz and Classics Festival, so we're power through, folks. Here we go. You've already talked about the World Affairs Council Combating Rural Poverty, which is they're discussing tonight. It's a very interesting topic. Let's see. There's a 49 Writers Workshop at 6 o'clock. That's over at the Jack. They're talking with Don Reardon. excuse me. Let's see. There might be some kind of price tag attached to this. You might want to check. Paul Rosenthal and Arnulf von Arnim are the concert out at Chapel by the Lake.
That's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be beautiful. You're sitting there. It's a beautiful, and all the pollen clouds, and it's just going to be a beautiful evening. Really, I mean, it's lovely out there. And then Perseverance has Boeing going, so to speak. It's karaoke night at McGivney's at 9 o'clock, so you can leave Paul Rosenthal and stop on the way. Goldtown's got Fading Gigolo. It's a comedy rated R playing various times through the weekend. Friday, the Lighthouse Dinner Cruise fundraiser is sold out. That is leaving at 5:30. Don't forget to get there on time, because then you wouldn't be able to go. People forget that. You know, Juno, there's this Juno 7-minute thing, and they just take, I don't know why they can't be there at
That's true. And boat captains don't go
for
the Juno.
They don't.
They take off.
They go. It's the Whoosh Canadier's May Poetry Slam. This is going to be downstairs here at the 360 Studio, which is a fabulous place. Sign up, start at 6, and it is pay as you can.
That's going to be cool.
Yep. There is a DNA Youth Group improv comedy show over at the Northern Light United Church. $7 donation at the door, and it benefits a mission trip to Appalachia. Juno Jazz and Classics, they're 7:30 p.m. on Friday, an evening of jazz with Anton Schwartz Quartet over at Centennial Hall. Sounds it's going to be a lovely live hot time in the old town over there. Saturday morning, it's the Migratory Bird Day celebration at the Juno Community Garden. And it is at from 11 to 4 p.m. Community Day on Campus Carnival of Arts. We're going to be out there making pinwheels, and the elementary student art is going to be on display. We put all that together over yesterday. It's fun. It's great art stuff. There will be a mosquito market. So we've decided that to just do mosquito markets on nice days. And we know that it's going to be a nice day on Saturday.
Is that something where you could buy mosquitoes?
No.
Oh.
Mm-mm. But you can put all your stuff in the trunk of your car and come to the parking lot and sell it. Get rid of that stuff. Out of the trunk of your car.
At UAS Community Day?
Yeah, let's do
cool.
that. Yeah, we did it last year, but it was pouring down rain. It was miserable. So that's why we decided no more mosquito markets unless it's a beautiful day, and it's going to be beautiful. One thing I will notice is that DeHart's intersection is under construction, so I suggest if you're coming out for the Community Day stuff, turn at Super Bear, go around, come through the back loop road. Then you'll be much happier about that whole thing. It's also Family Day at Swampy Acres, which is a co-op preschool event, $5 to come in, $20 for the family. Community Day is free, I will notice that. The Sail Orca Whale and Wildlife Cruise leaves Orca Harbor at noon. I think they still have tickets available for that. So if you missed the one for the lighthouse, you can do this one. There's a spaghetti feed fundraiser for hospice and home care at the Moose Lodge at 5 p.m. That is $20. Kids under 5 are free. Manhattan Transfer. We've been waiting and waiting, and here they are. It's going to be at 8 p.m. on Saturday. It's going to be at JDHS. I think there are a limited number of tickets left available, so don't miss this.
That's Saturday night?
That's Saturday night at 8 p.m. Tickets in the usual places. And then at 10 p.m., Kari Griffin and the Wrist Rockets are going head-to-head with Manhattan Transfer out at McGivney's.
Now that I want to hear, actually. That would be like a sound happiness.
Yeah, I think it would be a wonderful evening Saturday night. It'll be light out. You can just keep on going Saturday. Sunday, there's at noon the weekly ukulele jam over at T.K. McGuire's. There is at 5 p.m., the Alaska Youth Choir is having a barbecue dinner concert at Chapel by the Lake. It's a fundraiser for their travel. Monday, we're having Art Break Monday. There's nothing going on.
What? I simply don't believe it.
I don't either. I'm going to go back and check my work.
Art Break Monday.
Art Break Monday.
Kind of like Food Truck Friday.
Well, you know, it's been a pretty intense month, so I think a day off is well in order.
Is it the third Monday that day, right?
I think so. Yeah. On Tuesday, there's a community meeting at the Jack from 5 to 7 to talk with a theater consultant that's been working on the preliminary plans for the Willoughby Art Complex. So this is like the next step. People can come and see what he has determined so far. And give feedback like, yes, we really want a black box, or, gee, you can get rid of that space there, or just get caught up on where we are with the Willoughby Arts Complex. That's
and, you know,
from
it's
5 to 7.
5 to 7. It's a really important time if you are a person who participates in the arts or if you're a person who simply enjoys the arts, because mm-hmm. this is a space that people will use.
It's a community center.
That's right.
We want everybody to feel like they've had an opportunity to weigh in. This is just one in several steps, but it's an important one. And that's on Tuesday. Stay at 5 at the Jack. Let's see, Wednesday, the World Affairs Council will present how the Venezuelan music group El Sistema has spread worldwide and how Juno is part of it through the JAM program, which is the Juno Alaska Music Matters that Lori Hagee's been doing. Tony Woodcock is going to be here to talk with people about that. 5:15, and that will be downstairs in the studio as well. Let's see, and just a sort of a tidbit for next Thursday, Be Ready Marian Call in concert with Laura Zahasky. That will be over at COPPA, a new venue for performances. So it's a jam-packed weekend with lots of really intense stuff, but you get Monday off, so hey. Take it in.
I don't like this Monday off thing. I'm gonna just
I'll go back and
something.
Check and be sure. Okay, we'll have finger painting or something. Something will happen. But, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful time of the year and great for people to be out and doing things and seeing friends and people. So anything else? I would like to present you with this fabulous purple pencil. We will be making pinwheels out of pencils at Community Day on campus. So,
ooh, and it says Juno Arts and Humanities Council, Art Beat in Juno.
There you are.
What does that mean, Art Beat in Juno?
I don't know.
Oh, like heartbeat.
Oh.
Oh, Nancy, I'm slow on the uptake. It's the pollen. It's clouded my brain.
Yes. Okay. So
Can you tell me a little bit more? Because Community Day is a big event. Can you tell me a little bit more about who's going to be there? And
Well, I know the Jam Kids, we just spoke about them, and the Suzuki Kids will start the day off. It's all Linda Rosenthal coordinates all the music. So there's the jazz bands from the high schools and all sorts of music from the schools. This year, a brand new thing that we're going to do is that we have the elementary student art show out there. It has always been in Nugget Mall, but we're going to open it out there and then take it to the mall for the rest of the week. There's a bunch of food trucks. I know Breezy Street and Raven, and I think Helping Hands are going to be out there. There's a lot of that. The Bouncy House will be out there. There's going to be a symphony petting zoo. And
you can pet the symphony members.
Some of them.
That cellist. I just want to. No, but really, what does that mean?
That means that you get to, if you've never played a cello, you will have the opportunity to pick up a cello and see how you might enjoy. And as a matter of fact, I know a young man who became a cellist because of an opportunity such as this. So you can find the instrument of your choice. There will also be a sea slug petting zoo, the die pack one. So, you know, for people that prefer slimy things, and there you go. Let's see. The list is long and it's online, and I can't remember everything that's going to be there, but there's artists and there's crafters and there's information booths. They'll be doing tours of the UAS housing. I mean, it's all kinds of information. And, you know, they've redone the plaza out there. So it's a really spacious and lovely place just to come out and enjoy your neighbors and your friends and listen to some live music for free. And it'll be great.
Nancy, if people wanted to get more information about Community Day or the calendar, that all the arts that are not happening on Monday, where could we find
that? We can
that?
Check that Monday.
Yeah.
JAHC.org or KTOO.org. Isn't that great?
That is so cool. Nancy DiCerni, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And here is Bird Note for Thursday, May 15th.
This is Bird Note. In spring, around low marshy spots in open country, listen for this sound coming from somewhere up in the sky. It's the winnowing sound of the Wilson's snipe. Look up, and you may see the bird itself. The snipe, a brown, heavily striped sandpiper with a very long bill, lives in marshes and muddy areas where it probes for worms and other squirmy delights. But when spring comes, it takes to the air. The male snipe circles high above in a series of roller coaster arcs, each descent marked by this loud and distinctive sound. His rapidly beating wings force air through his widespread outer tail feathers, which are narrow and stiff. The resulting tremolo seems more than could come from a couple of tail feathers. Each burst of sound has a Doppler effect, like the whistle of a passing train. Snipes also sing from the ground. In this case, a song like that of many other birds in spring. But it is the winnowing that captures our attention. A twitter-pated sandpiper making music with two wings and a tail. Take a field trip with your local Audubon. If you're lucky, you could see a snipe. Begin with a visit to birdnote.org.
And you're listening to Juno Afternoon, Thursday, May 15th. My name is Shona Strausser. Thanks for tuning in. Quick notes, Augustus Brown Swimming Pool will be closed May 19th through May 26th for the annual pool maintenance. They'll reopen on May 27th with their summer swim schedule. Also tonight, Cray Van Kirk, a live television broadcast recording at KTOO, part of the At 360 North upcoming studio presentations. Check that out, 7 p.m. It'll be a great concert. This is KTOO Juno. We rebroadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Ock Bay area, tune to K276 AF 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, hear KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. In Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juno on digital channel 871. We're also online at KTOO.org.
In Turkey, the sound of two women crying over the grave of a relative who died in a coal mine accident.
That nation is in mourning as the death toll rises.
It's Thursday, May